Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and we welcome you to the PRF table, Possession, Resources, and Finances. We're so glad to have you on the air with us on tonight, and we are also even more glad to share with you our host, our guest on tonight, and her name is Nakasha, and she is going to be talking to us about healthcare, the Affordable Care Act. But before we have her talk, we want to turn it over to our wonderful co-host, Warren Feaster, and just allow him this opportunity to give us a recap from last week's show.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Glad to be back again and glad that you actually pulled up a table to the PRF table. And if you've been tracking over the past 3 weeks, one of the things that we were talking about was this: not allowing the money to control you, but allowing you to control your money. If you really look at a lot of things that's going on, in most cases, we go out and let the money make us. And so the last 3 weeks, we really just talked about allowing you having control over your money and coming to realize that saying, like Adia found out a couple of weeks ago, saying that I love money is not a sin. It's not a crime against humanity. It's just acknowledging the fact that you enjoy money. I mean, well, you can say you love all these other things, but there's nothing wrong with saying that you say that you love money. It's just when we let that money control and rule over us. And that's kind of what we talked about over the past couple of weeks.
Well, we're going to go ahead and move on with the show. Tonight, you all are in for a big treat. We have a really big show on tonight. We have been honored and blessed to have our guest speaker from the National NAACP coming to talk to us about the Affordable Health Care Act. We would like, without further ado, to go ahead and introduce our guest for tonight, and her name is Nakasha. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. Welcome to the PRF table. And we just thank you for just giving us this opportunity to share your experience, your expertise about the Affordable Care Act. And we just thank you so much, Nakasha. And we're going to turn the floor over to you so that you can do what you do best, and that's sharing your passion with educating us about what it is that you do so that we can have a bigger and brighter future. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to thank all of you. It's a great privilege to be able to speak to all of the callers on this call and to have everyone learn a little bit more about the Affordable Care Act. My name is Acacia Bamberg-Salati, and I serve as the acting director for the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships at the Department of Health and Human Services. So I want to bring you greetings on behalf of three people. The first one is my boss, Melissa Rogers, who is the executive director of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. My second boss is Kathleen Sebelius, who serves as the secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And the other person is a guy you know very, very well, and that is the President of the United States of America, President Barack Obama. So definitely want to give you greetings to them as I start this conversation. I'm from South Carolina, and so people from South Carolina, we love to tell stories. And so if you would just beg me just a little bit of indulgence, I want to tell you a story about my last year in seminary. I attended Candler School of Theology, and during that time, I lost 14 people that I knew. 13 were people who were working, who were in a hospice AIDS program, but the other one was my beloved grandfather. And the year that I graduated, after he had passed away, my granddad came to me in a dream, and then this is what the dream was about, that my family lived on this big farm, and on this farm, everybody had chores to do. And at a certain time of the day, somebody rang the dinner bell, and everybody stopped what they were doing so they could get a seat at the table so they could get something to eat. But unfortunately, our family was not big enough that everybody could get a seat at the table. And so no matter how hard I tried to finish my chores, I was never able to sit with everyone. Until one day, my grandfather stood up from the head of his seat at the table as the patriarch of our family, and he said to everyone, "I'm not sitting down until Acacia gets a seat at the table." And I remember in the dream being in the shadows and walking out and thinking to myself, "Now I actually have a seat at the table." Now, what does this story have to do with the Affordable Care Act? For millions of people in this country, all right, they're in that same process. They're in the shadows. They don't have a seat at the table. They don't have the health coverage that they need just to be able to do basic services for themselves and for their family. Now, you hear a lot about the Affordable Care Act, about Obamacare and things like that, and I always remind people that they need to think about history. In 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson passed Medicare and Medicaid. And if I promise you, if you go back and look at the newspaper headlines, take a look at the rhetoric that people were saying about the passage of those two critical laws, it would very much mirror and echo the same things that they're saying about the Affordable Care Act. It's too much money. You know, it provides too much ownership of the government. You know, we need to have people pull themselves up by the bootstraps. This is socialism. This is going to destroy America. All these types of rationales, all that type of rhetoric, were the same things they said in 1965 when Medicare and Medicaid were both signed into law by President LBJ. Now, it is very hard in 2013 to imagine a world where we don't have Medicare and Medicaid, where we don't have health coverage for our elderly to make sure that they, when they get sick and older, that they're not dying on the streets, literally, because they don't have health coverage to be able to take care of their needs, or that we don't provide health coverage to the least of these, the poorest of the poor who, through no fault of their own, are not able to purchase health insurance. So what's happening today is something really transformational. On October the 1st, 2013, which is less than a week away, I think it might be 5 days away, we're going to change this country. We're going to transform this country from sickness care into actual health care. And we're going to do it with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Now, as I said before, there are a lot of misconceptions going around. You know, I'm from South Carolina. I'm sure you've heard the story that, you know, a lie can run around the earth 15 times before the truth has a chance to even tie its shoelaces. And I'm sure you're hearing all kinds of misconceptions and incorrect information about the health insurance marketplace. So let me just be clear about what's going to happen. On October the 1st, on 2013, every state in this country will have a health insurance marketplace. Let me repeat that. On October 1st, every state in this country will have a health insurance marketplace. Now, there are three types of these marketplaces. There are some states that have decided that they want to create their own, like the state of Maryland. There are some states who want to do a partnership with the federal government and with the state. And there are some states, like my home state in South Carolina, who decided they didn't want to do a marketplace at all, and so there's going to be a federal marketplace being done before them. But in any case, no matter what state you are in, on October 1st, all you need to do is go onto healthcare.gov and find out what are the ways that you can get covered, what are the plans that fit best for you. Because that's really what it's about. It's about you having the choice to decide what types of doctors you want, what type of plan you want, what are the things that are going to make sense for you and your family. So healthcare.gov is a great resource for you. Now, I know there are people saying, well, you know, that's real great, but I don't have a laptop. I don't have an iPad. You know, I don't have a smartphone. So that's why we have a 1-800 number. So it's 1-800-318-2596. I'm going to repeat that two more times. That's 1-800-318-2596. 1-800-318-2596. So come October 1st, if you need to call to find out about enrollment, how to get enrollment, there are going to be people on that phone that are going to be trained to be able to help you no matter what part of the enrollment process that you're in. They're going to be able to speak to you in English and Spanish and 150 more additional languages. And so it really is about seeing which is the best health plan for you. And what we're trying to do is make it simple so that you can compare plans. You know, I kind of call it orbits. When I go to South Carolina and I want to find what's the best plane, I go into orbits and I say I want this, this, and this, and they give me a range of options. And I decide, you know, which is the best option for me. Well, it's kind of sort of like that with the health insurance marketplace. You find out what are the health insurance companies in your state that are providing health insurance, what are the different types of plans, and then you decide for yourself what makes the most sense for you and your family. But one of the things that's really important that you should know about when it comes to those plans is that there are things called essential health benefits. Basically what that means is that if you're buying private health insurance, no matter what type of health insurance you buy, every health insurance coverage is going to have these benefits, all right? And I'm going to name them. Ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance abuse disorder services, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, lab services, rehabilitation services, preventative and wellness services, and chronic disease management and pediatric services, which includes oral and vision care. Okay? So once again, no matter what plan you provide it, when it comes to private insurance or the health insurance plan, you are going to have those essential services. Now, here's another thing that you should know. Just in the same way that not every state decided to get their own state health insurance plan, not every state has the option not to expand Medicaid. So you have to learn, if you are a state that is expanding Medicaid, and I'll use the state of Maryland as an example again. If you live in the state of Maryland and you make $15,000 or less, you are now eligible for Medicaid, period. If you live in the state of Maryland and you are a family of four and you make $32,000 or less, you are now eligible for Medicaid, period. And so you need to check out which ones of those states that you live in that is expanding Medicaid to make sure that you're eligible for it or not. Now, if you're not in a state that is not deciding to expand Medicaid and you're concerned about the cost of the plan, please know that 90% of the people who enroll in the plan get some type of subsidy. So at the end of the day, depending on the state that you're in, depending on the plan that you're in, you're talking about after you get your subsidies, you're thinking about having a health care plan for you or for you and your family that is about $100 or less a month. So let me repeat that. You know, 90% of the people who are applying and getting enrolled into these health insurance marketplaces are eligible for some type of subsidy. And for the most part, not in every state is different, but you could actually be in a situation where you are paying $100 a month or less for health insurance coverage. Now, once again, why is this important? You know, I like to tell the story about my former boss, Jim Clyburn from South Carolina. The night that we passed the Affordable Care Act, this is when I was working with him and before I went to go and work for the Obama administration, he got this email from this woman in his district. And this woman said, "I want to thank you, sir, because tonight, for the first time in a long, long time, I'm going to be able to actually sleep well." And the young woman went on to say that she had a child who had cancer. But because there was a lifetime cap for health insurance, her child had reached that lifetime cap, and her insurance company was no longer providing her services. And so she was tossing and turning, trying to figure out a way how she was going to be able to provide services for her child with no health insurance coverage. And so with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, stories like that are going to be stories of the past. You know, there's going to be no longer any lifetime cap. You know, we're going to be dealing with pre-existing conditions. There are, I think, 129 million people in this country who can't get health insurance because of a pre-existing condition. And I know when we think of pre-existing conditions, we're thinking about cancer and cardiovascular disease or diabetes. But a pre-existing condition can be acne. A pre-existing condition can be asthma. A pre-existing condition can be pregnancy. And so with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, we're doing away with all of that as well. And so I'd like to, you know, just stop right here and, you know, turn it back over to the host to see if there are any types of questions that might be, that, you know, you guys might want to know about from the audience. But I would just say this last thing. Do not let the forces of fear and the forces of apathy stop you from getting the coverage that you need. President Obama was reelected on the issue of this law. The Supreme Court upheld this law. This is the law of the land. This is not a lobbying issue. This is the law. And on October the 1st, health insurance marketplaces across the country are going to be open. Open enrollment is from October the 1st, 2013, to March 31st, 2014. And coverage will actually begin on January 1st. So we really need to make sure that we tell our friends and our neighbors and our Sunday school teachers and our babysitters and our boyfriends and our aunties about this good information so that they themselves can take a look, go to healthcare.gov, or call that 1-800 number and make sure that they're getting the information that they need. And so I want to thank you all for inviting me to this call, and I'm going to turn it back over to my host now.
Well, thank you, Acacia. Let me say this. I know Adia is sitting on the edge of her seat wanting to jump in and ask you a question, but when you started talking about that story about South Carolina, let me just bring up this quick story. You know, I just came back from the Bahamas, and while I was there, we're riding around. You know, I usually don't go on the tourism things. I usually find somebody that could take me to, well, there's the hood, or take me to where the real people live. And we're riding around, and one of the places we rode past was an hospital. And this is what he told me. He said, in the Bahamas, health care is free. I said, He told me that health care is free, but he told me the reason why health care is free. He said, we're a tourist attraction, a tourist country or an island. And the fact that we have people that come to the Bahamas, I was in Nassau at this particular time. We have people that come to Nassau, and we don't want people to get sick and have to pay a whole lot of money because they're over here in the Bahamas and then have a negative understanding or a negative taste in their mouth about getting sick and having a whole bunch of medical bills, because what that is going to do is going to affect our economy. It's going to affect other people coming over. If all these people that are flying, these 2,000 people per ship that are sailing over to the Bahamas 3 or 4 times per week, sometimes 3 or 4 ships per day, actually go back, and so many people start talking about, if you get sick then and you don't have health coverage, or the health coverage is so astronomical when it comes to the cost, that's going to make people say, you know what, I may want to try someplace else. So I think for us as a country, and anybody, you know, correct me if you think I'm wrong or debate, one thing about this show, Acacia, we all don't agree on everything that we're talking about, and that's okay, because everybody has a seat at this table and has a free voice. But I think that's so important that they understand that that is something that is needed. So when I look at what our country is doing, and when I look at and hear some of the things that I hear about this, and some individuals that really don't want this, for whatever reason, I'm not going to debate the reason why they don't want it. They've been vocal. They say they don't want it, some of the things that you were talking about. I think it's a shame that we live in a society, we live in this country where we're not willing, well, some of us or some of them are not willing to really go along with this and say we don't care that some people don't have health care. And here's what I would say as a minister. I'm pleading with all of my fellow brother ministers. I'm pleading with all my fellow pastors. I'm pleading with all the religious leaders and all of the pastoral care practitioners to please get involved wherever you are at. Because the reality is, this is one of the things I said several years ago, and I remember just one of the things that you mentioned about your experience with Patia in Kellen. I actually went to Columbia Theological Seminary, so we're still brothers and sisters, even though we went to two different places in the same area. And one of the things I would tell brother ministers and sister ministers is this. We spend a lot of time in the church praying for people that don't have health care, that get sick, that have a lot of medical bills, can't pay for it, get themselves in debt. So it's a ripple effect when we don't take care of each other the way we're supposed to take care of each other. So I think that it's really, really important that I'll be quiet, y'all, but I think it's really, really important for anybody who has been called by God to serve in any type of capacity of leadership in a religious or ministerial way to make sure that you're talking about this. Make sure that you're communicating about this. This thing, in, as far as preaching and ministering and pastoring, it is not about getting up every Sunday preaching a message about Jesus and the cross. There are people going through some real deal situations. There are some people that are going through some hurting times. And for us to be spending so much time in the church praying about sister such and such to get well, where if sister such and such had access to a certain type of health care, maybe we wouldn't have to do it and we can spend time doing some other things. So I'm about being proactive, and that's why I really wanted to have Acacia on this show after I heard her speak the other night, so she could bring this information to you, so that you can do something with it. Because anybody who's listened to this show before knows that this show is not about us just putting out information. It's about putting out information. It's about us coming together, sharing, sitting down at the table, and then doing something with it. So with that, I'm going to pass the mic over to Sister Adia and see if she has any questions for you. So, again, thank you, Acacia, for just, again, for accepting this invitation to the PRF table.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Hi, Acacia. And I apologize for mispronouncing your name. I was so excited and nervous at the same time. But I have a question for you. In reference to the Affordable Care Act, what are the health insurance benefits when someone enrolls in the health insurance marketplace?
Okay. So as I said before, each plan, may vary state to state, mm-hmm. but there are certain essential services that you have. And so those essential services there are 10 essential services. So the first is ambulatory patient services, all right? So that's outpatient care that you can get without being admitted to a hospital. The
okay.
second is emergency services. The third is hospitalization. The fourth is maternity and newborn care, and that's care before and after your baby is born. The fifth is mental health and substance use disorder services, so treatment for individuals who are suffering from mental health issues or from substance abuse issues. The sixth is prescription drugs. The seventh is rehabilitation services and devices. And so these are to help with people with injuries, disabilities, or chronic conditions be able to gain, or recover their mental and physical skills. The eighth one is laboratory services. The ninth is preventative and wellness services and chronic disease management. And the tenth is pediatric services, which means if you have a child and you're in that health care plan, you're now going to be able to have oral and vision care as well. And as we know, one of the reasons why this bill is so important is because of the focus on prevention. A lot of us, and I'm going to be honest here, you wait until you're really, really sick before you go to the doctor. You do that for a lot of different reasons. But for many of us in our community, we do it because we can't afford that copay. And if it's $20 or $35 to go and check mm-hmm. on our eyesight, then we're going to say, well, that $20 or $35, I can use that to put gas in my car.
Exactly.
I can use that
That's
to
right.
buy groceries. And so one of the things with this health care law is that the preventative care types of things are now free. So if you need a mammogram, you don't have to do a copay. If you're going for, a prostate cancer screening, you don't have to do a copay. A seasonal flu vaccine costs $35 in the state of South Carolina. With the Affordable Care Act implemented, that seasonal flu vaccine is going to be free.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you so much.
One of the things that you said was, you talked about people not going to the hospital. And again, what I'm hearing is that's one of the reasons why we really have to push this information out and make sure that people are educated about it and not watching Fox News or MSNBC or CNN for that matter, but getting to a resource that is actually going to provide unbiased information. This is not a political show at all. So I could care less about anybody's political affiliation or political concerns about this Affordable Care Act. What I know as a minister is that there's individuals that are hurting, and I have a responsibility to do anything and everything in my power to be able to make sure that when there is somebody hurting, what can I do? How can I step up and be somebody to an individual? I may not be able to touch everybody, but the couple of hundred people that listen to this show every week, those individuals, you who are listening, the listeners of the PRF table, our faithful listeners, you are the ones who can communicate this information. You are the ones who can tell somebody to go and listen to the archives of this show after the show airs ends off the air tonight. So you know, my thing is this. We all have a responsibility to be able to do whatever we can do in the capacities that we can do it in. Because in the big scheme of things, we're going to deal with it, Acacia, like you said, one way or the other. We're going to deal with it with that individual who has cancer, doesn't have the money to keep paying for the medical bills or whatever the disease is. And here they come to the church. I understand that everybody may not come to the church, but I know as being a minister, a lot of people do come to the church for assistance and for help. In the big scheme of things, my sister-in-law, she passed away last year, and she was on dialysis. And the reality is it costs $30,000 per month for her dialysis treatment. And if my wife was on the show, she would be able to communicate that, you know, there's some economic reasons why she was not able to get the type of care that she needed prior to her getting sick. Some of what you just said, Acacia, because that copay. You know, I think people have to be really, really careful as they're communicating their voices and their opinions about certain things, because if a person doesn't have gas to put in their car, and it's a choice between going to get a flu shot or putting gas in the car so they can get back and forth to work, let's be real, people. Most people are going to put gas in the car to get back and forth to work. And people cannot be judgmental. I plead with you. People, just stop being judgmental about things that you don't know, because most of the time people don't even take the time to find out what's going on with an individual. They just they just talk about stuff. And I'm tired of talking. Let me correct that. I'm not tired of talking. I'm tired of listening to people talk and sitting on their behinds and not doing anything about some of the situations, not having the courage enough to care about individuals that's out there going through things. So, all right, let me digress a little bit. Sister Dia, did you have anything else that you wanted to ask Sister Acacia?
Well, yes, I did. I just wanted to ask, do you know if there's anything as far as for people who have retired from the military or separated from the military? I know being in the Army that 180 days after someone is separated, that their health care benefits from the Army or the military forces, they stop. Is there anything that is, I guess, for them, or they just need to apply as well for the Affordable Care Act?
Right. They should go to healthcare.gov and find out what are the options for them in their, you know, depending on their situation. You know, and I would just, just also remind people, you know, that faith and community leaders, as you all have said very, very eloquently on this call, are trusted messengers. And so when they hear it from you, when they hear it from the pastor, it means something so differently. And so we have information we're putting together. We have an online toolkit of a lot of different types of information, fact sheets, talking points, things like that. You can go on our website. It's www.hhs.gov/partnership. And if you click onto the left side, it says Affordable Care Act, you can see a whole host and range of different types of materials. And I must admit, the material that I'm most proud of is Brother to Brother, because I think one of the things we have to remember is that young and healthy crowd. There are so many black men out there who don't have health insurance, don't realize that they might be eligible for Medicaid, and don't realize that they could probably afford, with the subsidies, actual health insurance. And so we need to make sure that they know about it, that young man who's in the barbershop, that young man who's working at Applebee's, that young man who's tuning in your car, we need to make sure that he also knows about the opportunities for health insurance for him. And a lot of people say, why? I say, do you play basketball? If you play basketball, you need health insurance. Because if you break your elbow and you don't have health insurance, that elbow could cost you, you could be paying for that elbow for years.
That's right.
You don't have the health insurance coverage. So, you know, spend the $100 or less to get the health and coverage. If you live in the state of Maryland, California, New York, those states are expanding Medicaid, and you're making $15,000 or less, then you're now automatically eligible. But we really need to be telling this to our young people too, men and women, childless adults, that they are all, if they're in states that are expanding Medicaid, they need to sign up.
Okay. Okay, Keisha, I have one more question that I want to ask. If you can just give us a little bit more clarification. I heard that you can get help paying for the cost of health insurance in the health insurance marketplace. Can you just tell us how that works?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question? You kind of broke up there.
I heard that you can get help paying for the cost of health insurance in the health insurance marketplace. Can you just tell us how that works?
Absolutely. Once you, what we have are people and organizations called navigators. And so one of the things that these navigators are doing in health insurance marketplaces, which are operated by the federal government, are working with people to help them find the right plan. And so as I said before, once you find the plan that you want and you put in all of your information, 90% of the people who get enrolled into the health insurance marketplace get some type of subsidy. And so at the end of the day, once you get that subsidy and you're looking at it from a month-to-month standpoint, you know, your health insurance price might be $100 or even less than $100, depending on the state that you live in. So just know that there is information out there, but not only that, there are subsidies out there to be able to make sure that people can meet the cost of paying for this health insurance coverage. And this is you can get a subsidy in no matter what state you're in. It may change in terms of how your state is and how much competition your state has. So if you have a state where you have a health insurance marketplace that had two insurance companies, your premiums might be different than a state like California where they have six insurance companies competing for your premium.
Okay.
Wow. And, you know, and I think it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I really think it is a healthy thing for competition.
Right.
I just can't see, you know, I remember back in the day when Microsoft had taken off. I remember all the times that they had Microsoft or had Bill Gates up on Capitol Hill to defend what he was doing and how so many people did not want, so many Republicans or Democrats, whatever they were, did not want that to happen. Too much power in one person's hand. And so to hear a lot of what I'm hearing today seems kind of contradictory from coming from certain individuals. Can I say it like this? If we don't have competition, what do we have? We have people that are able to take the rules.
Exactly. And actually, JR, that's exactly right, JR. The more, you know, insurance companies are able to compete, and we are seeing that premiums are actually lowering because of that. They're lowering because they're actually being able to compete against, you know, for consumers' dollars. They're also lowering because, as a part of the Affordable Care Act, states now have the ability to actually review rate increases. There was a great, you know, this is a couple years ago, almost three years ago, where in the state of California, a health insurance coverage company raised their premiums, I want to say, almost 200%. It was such an egregious number that Secretary Sebelius, you know, called, you know, wrote a letter to them asking them where was the justification for that. Well, because the Affordable Care Act was coming into being, the state of California now had the power to be able to actually ask those questions to this insurance company. Well, come to find out, the numbers that they were using to justify this huge hike in premiums was completely false. And so that's another way that these premiums are going to be lowered because, you know, it's not, you're not going to, you know, the states are going to have the power to be able to really look at these numbers with these insurance companies and say, okay, let's see these numbers. What is the justification for that? So.
Go ahead, Adia.
No, I was just going to ask, you know, we know that probably the best marketing tool is just word of mouth. Is there any way, I guess, like, is the health market set up to where maybe churches or different organizations can maybe set up like a, some kind, I guess, information drive to put out information, or is that allowed for organizations to do?
Absolutely, and that's what we want. One thing that you could do is you could become a champion of coverage. And a champion of coverage is just an organization that, you know, is just there to make sure that people know about health care, you know, and what's going on in health care. So, you know, I've given you healthcare.gov, but another very good resource is marketplace.cms.gov. And I'll repeat that, marketplace.cms.gov. There is a wealth of information there. So there are materials for training. There are there's information on how to become partners. There's all different types of resources. So when you have the time, look through that and see what are some of the things that, you know, are going to be helpful to you and your congregation. But in my office, we work with a variety of churches and community groups who are doing just that, making sure that, you know, that the ministers are writing blogs about the importance of health care, are working with the navigators and the certified application counselors to help get enrolled, are letting people know about healthcare.gov, or making sure that they've got it in their bulletin insert, or putting widgets about healthcare.gov on their church website, or having, you know, when they do their health ministry meetings, they're bringing in people who are working on the health insurance marketplace just to talk about things. They're sending information out into the community. So there's so many ways faith and community leaders can help with this. But as I said before, nothing is nothing without it being from someone that you trust and respect. And I'm just going to say this last story, and then I think I'll be done. But, you know, my auntie Ethel is she's my special auntie. And my auntie Ethel can tell by just me saying, hey, auntie, whether I've had a fight with my husband, a bad day at work, or I'm sick. And my auntie Ethel has been known to say, Acacia, you sound like you have a fever.
Wow.
You sound like you have a fever. And 9 times out of 10, she's right. And so it's people in the community talking to other people in the community and languages that they understand and the cultural ways that we understand that's going to be able to get that message out.
So let me ask this, Acacia. You talked about being a champion for coverage, and correct me if I'm wrong, but anybody can be a champion for coverage. Is that correct?
They would prefer organizations.
Organizations are champions. Okay.
But I would go to Marketplace and learn a little bit more about that. So they're really wanting not necessarily individuals, but organizations, churches, groups, you know, sororities, fraternities, those types of, you know, larger organizations to be champions of coverage.
Okay, but the navigators, which you spoke about earlier, that's where we as individuals can do it on our own, or does that have to be organizational based as well?
Well, navigators are trained and provided funding by the federal government. So the federal government dispensed $67 million to about the 32 or 33 states, I believe, who decided they wanted to do a federal marketplace. So it really depends state by state where those navigators are and what types of funding that they receive. But there are organizations like the Certified Application Counselors, and these are and these can be, and to be, you know, a Certified Application Counselor, you can be a community health center, a healthcare provider, a hospital, a non-federal governmental or non-profit social service agency. And so if you're a part of just like a navigator and just like a CAC, you may be a part of an organization who is doing this stuff, and then you're working individually on their behalf.
Okay. So here's
and
what
then,
I'm hearing.
And then they're just simply educators. And educators would be individuals who would be the ones who would be telling people about the marketplace. But just remember, in order to enroll in the marketplace, you're talking about people sensitive information. And so navigators
right.
and CACs have to go through a lot of training because of that. Whereas just an educator, they're not physically enrolling anyone. They're just you know, providing information.
And let me tell you, and I thank you for that. I really wanted to make sure that nobody had any type of misconception about the different terminology, what can be done, because sometimes it's easy, and I'll say it from a religious or ministerial perspective, it's easy for the enemy to get in there and tell somebody, you can't really do this because it takes too much. So the type of person that I am and how we are on this PRF table is we'd rather be able to let it be known, okay, yes, it may take a little bit more work, as you just said, and a lot of training to be a champion for coverage or a navigator, but there is something that you can do. So you can be an educator, which doesn't take all of that. So really there's no excuse for anybody to be able to be non-involved in what we're talking about tonight. There's
Absolutely.
No excuse for my fellow pastors. There's no excuse for my fellow ministers. There's no excuse for my fellow pastoral care practitioners. There is no excuse. Again, I say this to everybody listening. We're going to deal with it one way or the other. We're going to deal with it one way or the other. So we might as well be proactive. If we be
That's
proactive,
right.
I really believe that God has created us as individuals, as human beings, as his creation, to be a proactive people rather than a reactive people.
Absolutely.
It's amazing that we're even talking about this. We're talking about this because out of a reaction, not as being something proactive. So how do we be proactive? We take where we are right now, wherever we are, and say, you know what? We know some people are already sick. We help those. But we also know there's a whole bunch of people that are healthy. That young man that plays basketball, I used to play basketball every Thursday night until we started doing this show on Thursday night. So by doing the show on Thursday night, I can't play basketball anymore. And I remember when I was in seminary, actually, I sprained my ankle really bad. Thank God I had health insurance. I never had to worry about the medical bill. But everybody's not that fortunate. So we have to be, you know, I'm going to just say it like I say it. Some of us who have health insurance, have these good jobs, have money, don't have to worry about the copays, God is blessed, or you have it however you got it. That's not good enough to just because I got it, that I'm good. I have to be concerned about my brother or my sister to the left or the right. That's just me. I can't speak about anybody else, but I have that concern, and I don't want other people to.
It's like what James says. It's not enough. If your brother or your sister comes to you naked and hungry, it's not enough for you to say, go in peace, God loves you. If we're people
mm-hmm.
of faith, if we're persons of faith, we have a moral obligation to take care of the least of these. And as I said before, if I believe that James was writing his epistle today, he would say we have to feed people, we have to clothe people, and we have to make sure that they have affordable and accessible health care coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sister Dia, as we get ready to wrap it up for this evening, do you have any more questions for our esteemed guest this evening?
No, I do not. However, I just want to say thank you so much just for sharing and just really clarifying a lot of the misconceptions about the Affordable Care Act. and just basically just for empowering us and challenging us to go out there and to spread the good news about this health care so that people who need it can get it. And I mean, I'm just so amazed about several people who whose names came up that tonight and over this weekend I'm going to call them and make sure that they have this information. Because unless we're doing what we have been called to do, which is not limited to just preaching the gospel or, you know, going to college and getting a degree, but unless we're working in our communities and really impacting our communities, I don't know what else we are expecting to happen. And I think John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, said that don't ask what America can do for you, but ask what you can do for America. And this is one of those things. I had a student, one of my classmates, who said, when our commander-in-chief says something, regardless of what we think, we should back him 100%, especially if it's something that's going to help the greater mass. And I just think it's important that we keep that in mind and keep that in the forefront, and that it's just not a conversation, but it's in our action. It's in what we do, and it's in what we live. It's in our behavior, and it's what we believe. Because once you believe something, you'll want to share it, because you'll realize that just like it impacts you, it'll be able to impact and help someone else. And I just think that it's important, you know, that we share the good news story and help our fellow brother and sister. And this will definitely do it. And I think it'll start with us on tonight. So I'm definitely challenged, definitely just honored and blessed to have you on the call to just educate us. And I'm just so glad to have heard everything that you said.
Well, as I said, thank you so much. And once again, this is my privilege and honor to be able to be on this show, to be with people who are so dedicated and so committed to making sure that everybody has a seat at the table. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take all of us speaking in strong voices and making sure that people hear the good news about this healthcare loss. So as I said before, I send you greetings from many people, but most importantly from the President of the United States of America. And I just want you all to know that he sees you, he values you, he knows that this work cannot be done without you, and he is so grateful and appreciative and blessed for all of your efforts.
Wow. Acacia, we thank you for that. We have a caller that just called in and wanted to just bring a comment or a question. So if you have a quick minute, if we can just allow her to come on. So call her with the last four of 2023. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello,
sir.
Everyone.
Good evening.
I just wanted to make a comment in regards to the Affordable Care Act.
Sure.
Just those people, everyone out there, make sure you do your homework on it, because I am a witness. I am in the medical career field, and I'm a witness on my job, which is why I was late calling in today. Because we were talking about the Affordable Care Act, and they have no idea on what to expect as it rolls out. They have no idea how to answer questions that patients may have about the Affordable Care Act and what it entitles them to. So, essentially, you have to do your homework and know how it benefits you. You can't just assume that your healthcare provider is going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so today I found out that I have to do a lot of training. I have to do a lot of research. I have to figure out how it affects each area of the hospital that I work in. And basically break it down to the provider so that they have, the providers and nurses so that they have general information, questions that they can answer for the patient. And not just that, I have to try to figure out how we implement a process to educate the patient. So if they come in with questions that they can't answer, that the physician or the nurse can't answer, that they have a source. So being proactive and taking responsibility and accountability for knowing how this applies to you and how it benefits you, you need to take it. It needs to be taken very seriously.
And I think that's a great. I think that's a great comment. And as I said earlier, you know, we're transforming a system here. We're transforming a system into from sickness care into health care. And so yes, there are a lot of providers who are still figuring it all out, healthcare systems who are trying to understand the law themselves, and that's why it's so important that we have these navigators and these certified application counselors who have the training to be able to help you be an empowered consumer so that you do understand what are going to be the best, you know, things, best plans for your family, particularly when you're working with your healthcare provider. And I love the fact that she talked about a healthcare provider because that's what it's going to take. Not going to the emergency room when you have a cold. I mean, creating a medical home, that your child has a pediatrician, that you have a primary care provider, that you're creating a relationship with them so that they can also understand and make sure that you're getting that preventative care that you need. So I really appreciate that comment.
That was an awesome comment. I thank you, caller, for calling in, and I know who it is because I recognize the voice, and it's a very serious business when those that are in the medical field are not as knowledgeable about what we're talking about. So that lets you know that what we're talking about on this show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is definitely something that has to be talked about, and it's not something that is just for you as the individuals, but there's people that are actually involved in this process that don't have the knowledge of it. We got to do what we have to do to make sure that we're educated on this, we communicate this information, we be available for people to ask questions. If you are a minister or a pastor, and you have somebody within your fold or within your congregation or within your ministry fold that don't know what to do, guide them to somebody who does. Mm-hmm. I would say that for anybody. Let's not let people come to us as individuals, whoever we are, in whatever capacity we're talking about or we live or experience, and not try to point people to the right direction. But in order for us to point people to the right direction, we have to know where we're pointing them to. So with that, Sister Acacia, let me just ask you this. Before we get ready to go for tonight, if people have more questions about the health care law, where can they go?
Okay, there's a couple places, but the biggest place is healthcare.gov, as I said before, because in 5 days, it's going to be a place where you can get health insurance. Also, the HHS Partnership Center has a frequently asked question or an FAQ section on our affordable care webpage. And so you just go on www.hhs.gov/partnerships. And so there are lists of those frequently asked questions. And finally, there's that 1-800 number. It's 1-800-318-2596. And there's, of course, also marketplace.cms.gov.
Wow. Well, we'd like to thank you, Sister Acacia, for joining and having a seat with us at the table. These are the type of conversations that sometimes we don't have a lot of people calling on because we know our listeners. A lot of our listeners are ready to receive, are ready to be educated, want to learn information from individuals like yourself who know what they're talking about. That is very, very important to the hundreds of listeners that listen to the show every single week. So we thank you again. We definitely thank the White House Office of Faith-Based Partnerships and Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, Health and Human Services, the White House. We thank you. We thank everybody that's out there and has been a part of this. So as you said about to us, Sister Acacia, that the president sees us, he understands, he knows what we're doing. Just know that the work that you're doing is so important. And when you have individuals that are able to listen to this show from all over the country and from overseas and be able to hear this information being articulated the way that you have articulated it, I think it's going to do something. I think it's going to move. I'm just believing that it's going to create a shift. I'm believing that it's going to make some individuals decide to make an adjustment in their life, whether it's now all of a sudden, let me just start going to the hospital and doing my random checkups. You know, at my job, they will pay. If you do all of your checkups, they will pay you $500, the insurance company that where I work at. That is bananas. And you have people that give up $500 every single year. I think it's $500. they give up that every single year because they won't go to the hospital. So I think there's something that we have to be praying about, and that's fear. Some people don't go to the hospital because of financial reasons. Some people don't go to the hospital because of fear of what has been going on in their life, what they may think is inside of their body, and they don't want to know certain things. So there's a whole range of reasons why people need to go to the hospital, people need to get their checkups. But now, come October 1st, I'm going to say that I really don't see where there's going to be any excuses. Pray for God to get rid of that fear, whatever your fear is, for those of you who are listening and have that. And for those of you who are involved in lives of people, I pray that you ask God, what is it that you need to be doing as an individual? If you have any influence inside of an organization or are in charge or running an organization, what is it that your organization can be doing to make sure that people get the health care coverage that they need and the information that they need? So we will see you back here on the PRS table next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On behalf of Brother Feaster, Sister Dia, and myself, Brother Dunlap, may God bless you. May God keep you. We'll see you next week.
I believe it. Every